Welcome back to Crusade with me. I'm your host, Dave, and I have my beloved with me. And we're going to talk about basics. Seems to be a revival going on all over the world, and we're going to talk about that. But we also want to talk about basics. Be an exciting conversation. Hello, my queen. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Back to basics. That's all I could hear when you were saying that.
Back to basics, yeah. And, you know, we're doing this because there does seem to be a revival going on in this country and all over the globe, quite honestly. And that was sparked in no small part by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I'm not belittling that. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Revival is an old term, right?
Yes. an old tent revival.
Yeah. And I just want to talk about that a little bit, about back to basics. I've seen on social media how many people talk about, I'm going to the church. I'm going to church for the first time in 15 years, or I'm looking for a church. And I think you're the one who came up with the thought about, you know, we probably need to talk about that. And mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea, right?
Right. Well, I just totally my thoughts, or just kind of I don't want to put water on the fire at all. I want to kind of put that little point out there. But just want to put a little caution out there that when you're looking, or if you know, if you've been raised in a church, or you just haven't been going for years or whatever, and you're returning and you're looking for something different, just want to put out some warnings.
Yep, and that'll be our next episode. We have one titled. Today's episode is episode 125, and it's titled Basics. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there looking for a church, or if you are in a church and you're not satisfied, or
you could be pleased.
but not satisfied. Right.
Heard a sermon by that title once by a very good pastor I know.
Yeah. Just some basic things to think about, right? And things to be kind of looking for and mm-hmm. understand prior to either going or committing to being part of a fellowship.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's what this episode's truly about today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so where do we begin? You know, that's a hard topic. Where do we begin when we want to talk about basics?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I put some bullet points together here, but we're just, I think we got to start at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you know The Sound of Music, that's what they say. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start.
Okay. I've never seen that movie.
What?
No, I've said that before. I've never seen that movie.
Well, you're lost.
I guess.
I could rectify that for you.
I'm not rushing to the couch to watch it either. But, you know, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 8, it is written, "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Right? Then you move over into Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man, his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you to not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me, She gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.
A lot of finger pointing going on there.
Yeah, that's a basic of life, right?
Right.
But the Christian life is the journey back to that communion in Eden. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that a lot on this, on these
kind podcasts. Of our theme. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was fulfilled in Christ, mm-hmm, that we are able to be on the road back to Eden. So sin cast us out of Eden, separating us from life, specifically life with God, communion with God. And so we lost access to God. We lost access to the tree of life and came under the curse of death. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that prior to this, we were designed and created to not experience death.
It sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to just be jovial for a second. I think,
absolutely.
I think you would have liked that lifestyle of roaming around naked.
Yep. El natural. I like el natural. But in Genesis 3 and 23 and 24, God drove Adam and Eve out and placed the cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life. Then, if you flip over into Romans chapter 3.
No, this just reminds me, you know, our sweet pea is trying to learn the books of the Bible, and she's putting stickers all over. It really...
Yeah, that's probably not the way to do it, but okay.
But whatever she's got to do.
Luke writes in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. So there's the story of salvation, is God's plan to reopen the way back to Eden. This is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tie that together. It has to be tied together with God then started making covenants with his people,
mm-hmm,
right? So then we can talk about Abraham and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowed the father offering his son. In Genesis 22, 7 through 8, Isaac said, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham replied, God will provide for himself the lamb. So to refresh our memory, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, his true heir, his son Isaac. And Abraham was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to follow the Lord's command.
Mm-hmm.
And as they went up on the holy mountain, you can read about this in Genesis chapter 22. And when God recognizes that Abraham is being faithful and obedient, he makes a miraculous appearance of a ram caught in the thicket.
Mm-hmm.
And that ram prefigures Christ, the true Lamb of God. And I'm I don't want to be like connecting dots here that don't need to be connected, and I don't think I am. Mm-hmm. So then you can jump into the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. And the Passover showed the deliverance through the blood of the lamb of a blemish-free animal, right? So God's people were saved from death by the blood on the doorposts. What's interesting to me is when we talk about the Exodus, the plagues prior to the destroyer mm-hmm. coming and killing all the firstborn males, all of these plagues affected the Egyptians because the Egyptians, Pharaoh, had enslaved God's people, the Jews, in Egypt. And then through Moses sent, not through Moses, but because he heard their cry, he redeemed them mm-hmm. with the final plague of the Passover. And that can be found in Exodus 12. When I see the blood, I will pass over you and no plague will befall you. So again, another foreshadowing of Christ's blood, marking his people, sparing them from eternal death. Mm-hmm. But what is interesting to me is this plague did not affect just the Egyptians. It affected everybody. And I think that's also a forbearing of Christ is for all people, not just for the Jews, but for everybody.
Right. And also their obedience to God.
Correct.
Those, which is also under the new law, we either accept or we reject.
Yes.
And so, under Old Testament law, they either accepted their instruction or they rejected the instruction, and it was either death or life.
Yep. No, I agree.
Another layer.
So then Jesus is the Lamb of God who opens a way back to Eden. His crucifixion fulfills Abraham's test and the Passover sacrifice both, right? In John 1, verse 29, it is written, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Have mercy upon us. Sorry.
But that is why we say that. And
I know.
And who spoke those words? Those were the words of Simeon, right? Who is not a priest, who is not a, he was just an old man. Mm-hmm. I would purport that he could be a prophet.
Say, yeah.
He had been given a vision or a word, as some would say, mm-hmm. yeah, that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. And when Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus into the temple, mm-hmm. where Simeon was often, mm-hmm. he sees him, and these are the words he says. And this is why we say this in our liturgy on Sundays. Mm-hmm. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Still rings true today. And then in John 19, verse 30, it is written, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, Jesus spoke these words, "It is finished. It's done." So the cross is the tree of life restored, where death is defeated by death. It took Christ to die for us to not have to die. Mm-hmm. Christ had to go through that so there would be no more death. And then the resurrection is the dawn of the new creation, the garden restored. You know, Christ rose in a garden as the first fruits of Eden restored. In John 20, verse 15, it is written that Mary Magdalene thought he was the gardener. And in truth, he is. The gardener of the new Eden. Then you can jump over and read the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:22. It is written, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Just basic stuff that we need to understand and know. So the way back to Eden is open through Christ. And I want to be clear that salvation is by grace, through faith, not by works. Okay? God calls us to trust as Abraham believed the promise. In Romans 4, verses 20 through 22, it is written, "Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness." And then again, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it is written, "Salvation is the gift of God received in faith." The gift. So faith is walking the path home, trusting the one who leads us back. These are all things that we need to be the basics that we need to understand. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about word and sacrament, often referred to as means of grace. They are Eden's gifts restored. The word waters faith. Baptism is rebirth. The Eucharist is eating from the tree of life. In Acts 2:38, we memorized this when we were young, right?
Right.
"Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." So in the supper, the fruit of Eden returns to us in Christ's body and blood.
The B&B.
The B&B. That's what number one grandson calls it, the B&B.
The B&B.
Who in the family calls it Jesus juice?
I don't know anybody.
Yeah,
I think other people have referred Jesus to it juice. As that. Yeah.
Right. But the Christian life is one of daily repentance, walking the narrow path. So we turn from idols and distractions, walking back toward God. You know, and I've been guilty of this too, reading a lot of, and I like to read, so I read a lot of stuff, and not everything that I read is by Christian authors, and it's just alarming that we put so much focus in this time, we violate the first commandment. What's the first commandment? Have no other gods before me, right? And in that first commandment, that's the big hang up, right? You can say, well, I don't commit adultery. I don't murder people. I'm pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not 1 out of 10. It's the 10, right? And that's the law. And the law is what binds us. The law is what, and I'm going to get into that more in a minute, but we we can't get past the first one. Mm-mm. And we think we do. We think we are. Well, I don't have any other God but God. Well, do you really? I mean, right. We say that, right?
It's finding out what fits into each of those. Like, I'm sure you're going to go down the vein that I'm thinking, but.
Well, it's just that we, and I'm talking about we meaning me, oftentimes we live our lives as we are God.
Mm-hmm.
We replace the true God
with other gods.
With other gods.
Because you think it's making reference to idols, you know.
Correct.
We don't have idols in our home, but yet, alas, we do. We have phones. We have
That's
TVs.
What I was just going to say, yes.
We have all these things that distract us from the Word of God.
Correct.
And doing the things we should be doing. And those things are taking our time from the things being in the Word, from prayer.
And it's how we prioritize.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's alarming and that's unsettling.
Right.
It's unsettling.
Right.
We all fall short, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we turn from idols and distractions, walking back toward God. In Luke 9, verse 23, it is written, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And then in 1 John 1, 9, it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive
us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
That's right.
That's the very first scripture I ever memorized.
Isn't that something? Well, that's why it fits into basics, right?
Yep.
And we talk about the basics of why and who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And these basics are things that church people need to know.
Mm-hmm. And why memorization, I believe, is so important.
It's not just about reading, it's
about memorizing.
I would absolutely
agree. Which I don't think is a possibility at my age anymore.
That's not true.
I know. I'm giving myself an excuse.
Yada, yada, yada. So repentance is reorienting our steps toward Eden. Changing direction. It's getting back on the path when we step off.
Mm-hmm.
We step off daily. And recognizing that. We need to just understand and recognize that.
You can't continue on.
Well, and I just
we're going.
Correct. And no one walks back to Eden alone.
Mm-hmm.
The church is the pilgrim people. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it is written, "Not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another." I love people who say, "Well, you know, it doesn't tell them to go to church." You didn't read Hebrews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 1 Corinthians 12:27. It is written, "You are the body of Christ and individually members of it." We are the body of Christ,
right,
on this earth.
Paul writes about all the letters to the churches,
correct,
encouraging them, telling them he's praying for them, and asking them to continue to pray for him.
Correct.
Why would that be important if it's not?
Correct. Absolutely right. So church is family. God gathers on the path home, is the way I look at that. And so in the end is life in the new Eden, the kingdom to come, thy will be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
This new kingdom is Eden. Christians, hope and resurrection, restored fellowship and life with God forever. In Revelations 22, verses 1 and 2, it is written, "The river of life and the tree of life return to the new Jerusalem." And in Revelations 21, verse 4, it is written, He will wipe away every tear. Death shall have no more power. So the story ends where it began. God dwelling with his people in paradise. And that's the basics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure there's more, but...
I'm trying to make it...
Right, as simple as possible.
Simple, right. But you have more you'd like to add, would you? Do you not? Or no?
No, I think it's pretty clear cut what you put there.
You notice I didn't talk about ceremonies. And you know me. I love ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel ceremonies are absolutely important.
Mm-hmm.
I like traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Traditions, but. Yes.
No, you've seen.
No, I've not seen it.
No, yeah.
I haven't,
okay.
But I know that song.
Fiddler on the Roof, just in case
anybody wonders. Yeah, I couldn't remember. But I feel like, hear this. Let's not overcomplicate it. Right. These are the basics.
Mm-hmm. This is the building blocks.
We love to get into the weeds, and we love to debate, and we love to, I'm right, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
These are the basics
mm-hmm.
that we need to understand. And as Pastor B used to say, there's nothing you can do, right?
To earn your salvation.
Correct. Man, there's a lot of people that work really hard at doing that, thinking that that's what's going to get them there, and it's not.
Right. But there are, contrary to that, there are people who just have a servant's heart that want to do, that want to serve.
They're moved by faith, God's faith, because
absolutely.
God is faithful. They're absolutely. Moved by faith.
Absolutely.
And those are righteous works. Yep. Those are good.
Yep.
I'm not.
Yeah, no. I just want to point that out, that just because there are people who are hard workers and are constantly working in the church or out of the church, or that doesn't mean that their motives are not genuine.
Correct.
But there are two different mentalities.
Yes. Did you have anything you wanted to add to this basics?
No, I think this is a good start. And even if you've been in the church for a long time, I think this is just a good refresher of, again, I've always said, know what you believe, why you believe it. And this is a good principle foundation of, you know, what to believe.
Yes.
And then always be in the Word. I mean, clearly, we can't be in the Word all day, but every day we should be in the Word.
Indeed.
And in prayer. And, you know, again, talking about a revival, you know, all good things seem to fizzle out. And so we just don't want that to happen.
Agreed.
We want to fan that flame and keep people. So if you're already in a church and you see new people coming, let's get those seeds planted in good soil and help be a person that attends to that garden.
Indeed. Shall we close with prayer?
I absolutely think we should.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, we give you thanks for this time and your word, for the holy teaching handed down from the apostles, and for all the calling you have given us to live as your people in the world. Strengthen us in the faith once delivered to the saints. Guard us from error and from every false teaching, and clothe us with the armor of light, that we may stand firm against the devil and all his works and all his ways. Keep us steadfast in your grace, watchful in prayer, joyful in hope, and faithful in love, as you have begun a good work in us through holy baptism. Bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the prayer of the saints and with the help of your Holy Spirit, guide us back to the true Eden, life everlasting in your presence. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Blessings of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.